17, third book in the Bible, Leviticus 17. And then 1 Corinthians 10 might get there. Oh, I got a couple of spiritual things I need to get out of the way. Anybody wants to play hockey? They're playing hockey after the 4 o'clock. My wife likes hockey. I like basketball. She's tougher than I am because hockey's a tougher sport than basketball. This is more of a gentleman's hockey, though. Nobody's getting checked in the wards. So. Want to play b-ball tomorrow night on Rensselaer? Did you do it last week? We'll do it tomorrow night? Okay. Leviticus 17. Got that spiritual thing out of the way? Okay, Leviticus, if you look at the first four letters, it's Levi. That's the tribe of Levi. That's the religious leaders for the Jews. So this is Jewish stuff. And he has some regulations for the Jewish people because they made a special deal with God and, in essence, married God as a nation. And so when you get in that relationship, obviously there's some higher obligations for you. And Leviticus 17 is a part of that. So before we read it, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us understand this idea. Help us to be people that are vigilant and that we might rest in your power. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Leviticus 17, verse 1. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron. Okay, so that's his brother. And unto his sons, that's the priest, that's who he chose. And unto all the children of Israel, okay, that's a corporate, became his wife, per se, under the Old Testament, and saying to them, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, saying, okay, here's what I'm telling you to do. What man soever there be of the house of Israel that killeth an ox or a lamb or a goat in the camp, or that killeth it out of the camp, and bringeth it not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, to offer an offering unto the Lord before the tabernacle of the Lord, blood shall be imputed, okay, imputed right in the middle, put, blood shall be put or imputed unto that man. So he's responsible for that shed blood. He that shed blood and that man shall be cut off from among his people. Okay, now if you stop there, you say, you mean a guy can't go hunting, kill an animal? No, in the context, it's talking about a religious sacrifice as we keep reading. Some people would just go off and, oh, the Bible. Okay, verse 5. To the end that the children of Israel may bring their sacrifices, which they offer in the open field, even that they may bring them unto the Lord under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, unto the priests, and offer them for a peace offering, for peace offerings unto the Lord. And the priest shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar of the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and burn the fat for a sweet savor unto the Lord. Okay, and that appeases the Lord's wrath. What had they been doing? The same thing, only for a different reason. But they didn't know it was for a different reason. Verse 7, they shall no more offer their sacrifices unto devils. That's the first time that word shows up in the Bible. Devils. After whom they have gone a-whoring. King James only word. Okay, so that's the byproduct of going after devils. This shall be a statute forever unto them throughout their generations. Okay, now if you would, 1 Corinthians. So in the past, the Jewish people, in order to appease Molech, Chemosh, Ashtarte, Baal, Allah, in order to appease the pagan gods, they had to have a blood sacrifice. They usually choose a goat. Okay, the goat head Lucy. That's who the famous people are sacrificing to today. In the Bohemian Grove, it's Molech. Bohemian Grove is a virgin forest in California where the elite go, Henry Kissinger, Bushes, and all that stuff. And they play around in the woods, and they offer a sacrifice to a 40-foot owl. Okay, and that's Molech. That's Old Testament. That's a devil. They just have different names. Okay, in 1 Corinthians 10, that still goes on today. Nothing's changed. Okay, 1 Corinthians 10. Verse 19, he says, "What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils, not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils." Okay, so there's the idea. A couple weeks ago, I preached on spiritual warfare. I know everybody remembers everything I said. Okay, but a lot of times you get a knowledge of something, you begin to practice this knowledge that you have, and then you forget. Life gets busy, and you kind of forget, oh, I need to do this, I need to be doing this, I used to do this. And a lot of times we forget to do things, and so this is kind of a sequel to that. This is something that reminds us. Okay, it's like tying a string around your finger to remind you to do something. There are some physical reminders, okay? There are visible possibilities of invisible powers when you're in that area. And that might remind you, I need to up my game. Okay, it's like if you're playing at a game, And the best player's on the bench for a while, resting, then he gets back in the game. Now you got to up your game. So the idea of this is, as we're going through life, you'll see visible signs, visible possibilities. Oh, I am probably around spiritual influence. That's not good. Okay? And so I'm going to give you 4 or 5 of them. And this will be a reminder, okay, I need to up my game right now. Now, in America, some of these visible signs are more veneered or shellacked or more polished. They hide their worship of the devils in plain sight. It's there. It's not in your face like it is in foreign cultures, like in Costa Rica or in Catholic cultures. It's in your face. European cultures, in England, it's right out in the open. They don't hide it. Here in America, it's kind of masked. Okay, it's still there. You have to be more discernible to recognize it. Okay, but it's right there. For example, Disney World, you know the castle they have there? That was patterned after a castle in southern Germany. I went to it, and that thing is infested with devils. They've got 666 etched in the castle. They've got the anointed cherub, the fallen cherub that's in the cafeteria. I mean, they don't hide it. And the guy that designed it and had it built, the king, he died a very mysterious, weird death because that's what accompanies it. Okay? And so the idea here is that as we're going through life and we see a visible thing, and that idea, I'm saying it is a possibility of some power. Now, I'm not saying it's automatic, but it's a strong possibility. Why? Because in the New Testament, intent plays a role in our actions. Intent does play a role. Why do we do what we do? Most people are like fish floating downstream. They just do what they do because that's family, that's culture. It's not an outright rebellion against God. Okay, but when a person has an intent of why they do what they do. For example, in the Old Testament, it says Esau married strange wives. Now, everybody knows wives are strange. And so, I mean, that's normal. Okay, but he married outside of what his parents wanted him to do. And it says that he married these strange wives because he knew it was a grief to his parents. That's intent. Okay, a lot of people, you know, like in that culture, they marry strange wives, but that's just culture. That's just environment. That's just how things turned out. But Esau had a purpose for doing what he did. And that was rebellion. And that's when it raises the bar, shall we say. Okay, there are physical clues, there are physical evidences all around us about God. As there are physical evidences of the devil or devils. Okay, now what we've read so far, we didn't read about the devil, singular. We read about devils, his cohorts, his understudy, his ilk. That's what, unfortunately, that's what most people worship. They don't know it in many cases. The ones at the top know it. They know what they're doing. The Freemasons at the top know what they're doing. That guy at the bottom in a job, first, second, third degree, it's just good business connections. The ones at the top know it. They know it's a Luciferian doctrine, as Albert Pike said. So that will play very important in the role. So here's the first physical clue I want to give you that hopefully this, you'll get in the habit when you see this clue, this reminder, right on the spot, place your armor on, throw up a prayer or two, okay? And what is it? It's idols and images are evidences of spiritual activity. Okay, now, again, in our culture, they're kind of hid. They're hidden plain sight, but they're there. Okay, now, what I'm saying, if you walk up to somebody's house and you see a Mary statue, I'm not saying that that is an automatic, okay, I'm dealing with the devil. It might be, but it's not automatic. It depends on intent. Maybe that lady just thought it was a cute little statue. Okay, but there's evidence. When you go up 41, you see Mary out there. Intent. That is evidence that is infested. Okay, and if you have discernment, you'll recognize it. Pop, throw up your armor, no big deal. You see, for the believer, an idol is nothing. Religion, in my mind, religion's funny. It's laughable. And sometimes my sense of humor, I kind of laugh at it, and some people don't appreciate your sense of humor. You don't make fun of somebody else's religion. Why not? It's fun. Now, I don't do it purposely just to tweak somebody, but sometimes to get people to think. You got to think about things. Okay? And sometimes in the Bible, he says in 1 Corinthians 8:4, he says, an idol is nothing. It's just a piece. It's a steel. It's a plastic. You know, I don't care if it rains or freezes, just as long as I got my plastic Jesus on the dashboard of my car. I mean, it doesn't matter. Okay? Religion is comical. Faith in Jesus Christ has got some substance to it. Religion is symbolism. Okay, it's like a hollow Easter bunny rabbit. It's fake. Okay, and a person can recognize, okay, when I'm around that, when I see that statue going up 41, I throw up a prayer, God, please forgive our country. Why? Because that is provoking God. Okay, and so when Israel, before they married God, they sacrificed the devils. And so God said, okay, in our deal, in our marriage, then you're going to have to give that up. No more Ashtoreth, no more Baal, no more Chemosh, none of that Moloch stuff. He said, that's out. It's you married me, it's me, or nothing. Okay, and so that's the deal. They sacrificed, most people are sacrificing. If you tell them that, they'd be shocked. If you tell a Catholic what you're doing when you're playing a rosary, you are doing an incantation, a witchcraft incantation, inviting spirits to come into you. And I'm praying for Mary. No, you're not. She's dead. She's gone. We was in Costa Rica, and we went to this Catholic ruins of a cathedral. And while this cathedral was being built in the past, and in the past, the priest murdered his brother. And then they had two or three earthquakes. So the people in the area said, oh, this place is cursed. So fortunately, it wasn't foggy that day, because if it was foggy, according to the customs, that the priest, beheaded priest, comes and shows up. I like to see the guy, but it doesn't really matter. Okay, and of course, when I'm there, you know, we look around, see it, you know, see how the people have some gospel tracts, pass them out. So then we went about a half mile down the road and went to the other cathedral. Fortunately, that priest didn't murder his brother, so this one got completed. Really elaborate, really nice. I mean, real beautiful artwork and all that stuff, you know, a bunch of little statues. So I had two or three tracts. One was Mary's Command to Catholics. Oh, this is an appropriate place to put that. And so you just kind of go into that. You got to kind of do an undercover agent here where you don't want to just be passing out. I mean, it's like, well, that's a good way to get stabbed, I suppose. But so you just lay one here, lay one here, and lay one there, and just wait to the judgment seat to see how the Lord used that to try to get people to think about it. Okay, but I know it's nothing, but I also know there's spiritual influence going on here. So what do? Put on my armor of God, you know, and just operate, relax, because we are in the power of God. It's not a big deal. Not a big deal, but most people don't realize it. I remember in Colorado Springs, there was knocking some doors, came across an elderly lady, got talking to her. She said she goes to Mass every single morning. I said, ma'am, those people are lying to you. Don't worry about me, sonny. I go every morning. I said, ma'am, those people are lying to you. Don't you worry about me. I said, I am worried about you because you're being lied to. She's been doing that for years. Probably died doing that. You see? And so, who's she worshiping? She's worshiping devils. If you doubt that, I'll take you to a Catholic church and I'll point out the symbolism. The sunburst. That's an obvious sign. The obelisk. Why in a Catholic basilica in Rome, they have an obelisk from Egypt. And the Pope that wanted that in Rome was going to hire whoever to move that from Egypt to Rome. But the problem is if it fell and it broke, the punishment was the death sentence. Well, one guy did it and he made it. Why would a religion that claims to be, quote, Bible or Christian want to take an obelisk, a pagan sensual symbol from Egypt, and put it in front of their church building? Well, if you go there, you will feel the vibes. Okay, and that's spiritual warfare. Okay, so that's idols and images are evidences of spiritual activity or bondage. But for the believer, we can intercede to God, ask God to forgive, and put on our armor, soak it in the blood of Christ, and then we have the power. Okay, the second thing is in spiritism and music. Now, when you get talking about music, people get upset. Why? Because they get emotional. Why do they get emotional? Because music is jumping into a spiritual environment. You say, what kind of music? All music is stepping into a spiritual environment. You can tell a church is going down the tubes by their music. That's the first thing. It's usually the music. Okay, and these contemporary churches, if you talk to them, say, you may be singing about the Lord, I'm not sure which one, but you are conjuring up devils by your music. You're accenting the flesh. If you close your eyes, you can imagine yourself in a smoke-infested, drunken bar with the same music. How dare you say that? Well, I dare say that by thinking about it and by investigation and recognizing it. Music is spiritual. Now, we met, you're a construction, of course, on a construction job, music's going to be blaring. You go to a sporting event, what are they going to do during a timeout? Music's going to be blaring because the devil knows that that's a power to influence people. He knows that. I mean, he's a master musician. He knows how to use music. Now, in the Bible, the Holy Spirit of God in Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. How do we fill with the Spirit? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Music has three parts. Now, I'm not an expert on it, but music got three parts to it. You got melody, you got harmony, and you got rhythm. And it's just like body, soul, and flesh. Okay? I mean body, soul, and spirit. Making melody in your hearts to the Lord. That's the spiritual aspect. Harmony, that's the second aspect. Rhythm, that's the beat. That is where the happenings take place. When you switch it, you got an African sex beat. Said that on the radio, used it a few years ago. I had to talk to the owner of the radio station. That's where it's at. That's most music today. That's country and Western too. The country and Western of today was the soft rock of my day. Okay? And if a person, now, where does it become really effective is when a person gets in it. Young people, get into my music. When they're getting into the music, they are uniting their spirit with the artist, with the composer, and those people will admit to you, they're not hiding it in these days. They used to hide it in my days. They used to backmask it. They used to write backwards. Oprah Winfrey, her company is her name backwards, because Satanists like to talk backwards. Okay, Aleister Crowley talks about that, but today they're putting it right in your face. They ask devils to help them with their songs. So if when a person gets in that music, they are having a spiritual marriage with that person. And so what do we do when we hear this stuff? Now, what's interesting about music in the Bible, David is the man that brought music back to its original glory. And you know his name occurs more than anybody's name in the Bible? Even more than Jesus. The name Lord, that's different, 6,000 times. The name David, over 1,000 times. Jesus, around 900 times. That places a pretty high role for David. Now, he knew about music because in 1 Samuel chapter 16, he was serving under King Saul. King Saul became a tyrant. King Saul says an evil spirit came upon him. But when they told David, play your harp around him, when he played the harp around him, the unclean spirits left. The music can draw or repel spirits. Okay? Now, a person says it doesn't affect me. It may not, but it desensitizes us. Music is very, very important, and that's why people get all mad about it. You ain't gonna mess with my music. No, I won't. But would you be sitting there with Jesus Christ beside you when you're listening to that? No, he's gone. Okay, and so the thing is we can overcome it, okay, and when you are in authority, you ought to play the right kind of music in your car and in your home. Why? To draw the right spirits of God. Music is very important. It's a very subtle thing. Down in Rensselaer, we had a guy years ago that wanted to sing specials. And he, you know, all that stuff. And they had this canned music, had cassette tapes. You know, we like it to the piano. Okay, so he had about 25 tapes. I told him, okay, if you're going to sing special to this church, I got to hear the tapes. About at least 25 tapes. Jan and I went through them. We felt so bad because they were all bad. Just wasn't poor music. It was devilish music because there's a beat in there and it's a very subtle thing. And so then we kind of, you can do these five. He said, that's it? I said, that's it. And after he did that one, that was it. Why? Because that brings spirits. Okay, and so music, very important. So when a person, when we're around that, you know, men, we can get in our nothing box and just, you know, and zone it out. But what we need to do is overcome that. Okay, this third idea. Now, this is one in our culture where truth or these ideas are hidden in plain sight. Okay, where this one is, okay, basically when you see the evil eye or other enigmas and symbols that promote Lucifer. Okay, you ever see the symbol of the Alfa Romeo car? The Italian car? Cross on one side and the other side, a reptilian lizard eating a man? Why would you put that in a car? What a crazy thing to put on a car, unless somebody at the top is promoting that. I'm not saying if you're driving that car that you're a devil worshiper. Intent plays a role. The one at the top had intent. Okay, and so we just recognize that evil eyes found three times in the Bible. Proverbs 28 verse 22 refers to a rich man hath an evil eye. An evil eye, you'll see the celebrities when they have pictures, they'll put her hand up, they'll put their hair across, they'll put their head right, they'll show one eye, and they are doing it with intent. When LeBron starts the basketball game, he'll come at after the national anthem, he'll come back this way with his three sixes, come down this way with his pyramid, because he is paying homage to his God. He's not messing around, he knows what he's doing. They don't get to those high places for no reason. Okay, the evil eye, the new world order, it's coming. It don't matter what you're going to do. David Rockefeller says it's coming. Either you consent or conquest, it's coming. And he's right. I'm looking forward to it. because we're out of here. Let them have it come. No problem. But what we do is we recognize these things and we pay attention to it. And when we see a high official where he's going like this, you know, George Bush, Hillary Clinton, where they flash that sign once in a while, or any music, anybody in the music industry that's flashing that sign, they're not saying two outs in baseball. They're not saying Texas Longhorns. They're giving homage to their God, the goat Lucy. And that's who gives them the power, influences people. So when we see that, we don't trust them. We put up our guard. Watch out. Okay, and so those are visible markers that remind us. The fifth thing is irrational or erotic behavior. Okay, this is probably in our relationships, parents with children. If you see something irrational or out of the ordinary behavior of a child, then a good time is a spiritual cleansing. Okay, where they're not acting as normally, maybe some things have come across and some erotic or irrational behavior. When somebody's infested with devils, they do irrational things. Spirits do not operate logically. I mean, it's not logical for a girl to put her head against the wall and start banging her head on a wall. We call those headbangers. People do that? Yes. Okay, cutting themselves. That's not logical behavior. Okay, anorexic or bulimia. Okay, that can be a spirit. Some of the mental issues that people have. Sometimes it's chemical imbalance. Sometimes it's spirits. Okay, it depends on the situation. A chemical addiction is often anything that they're doing to harm the body. The worst one is a flagellation that they do in religious things. I saw them in Costa Rica where the back of they get in that cathedral and they crawl to the front. You know, now some will crawl up a mountain that has sharp glass. That's not rational. That's not God. That's devils. Okay, Our Lady of Guadalupe or the Fatima back in Portugal days. That is not of God. That's of the devil. That is irrational behavior. That is behavior that is evidence of unclean spirits. And so what a person does, if you happen to be around that, relax. You've got the armor of God. Okay, and then operate as God would guide you and lead you in those things. Okay, clothes that expose the flesh, expose the body. Okay, we get in the music industry. When they take pictures, they'll be always flashing this way or flashing their hips this way. Why? They don't want to show you that that's a male that went to a female. They're trying to hide the curve. They're trying to hide the hips. Okay, and that's all part of the deception. And so when we see that, praise the Lord. You know, we can rest in the things of God. That's irrational or erratic behavior. Anger, uncontrollable anger. Ephesians 4:26, it says, "Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." Okay, somebody's angry all the time. This is about the pagan deities, Ashtoreth, Baal, the god of fire, the god of wind. They're always mad. Aren't they always mad? You never can appease them. The God of the Bible gets angry, but we can appease God. That's the difference about him. Now, if you got somebody in a job that's always mad about something, don't you give up trying to make him happy? Forget it. I say hello, he's going to get mad at me. Okay? That's often, you know, in many cases, it's immaturity. You can be young once, but immature all your life, and some people are still two-year-old temper tantrums. And they need somebody to, you know, whop them, but you can't do that these days. Okay, but that's also a sign of spirits. Narcissism. Okay, a sociopath, a psychopath. Okay, you're stepping in. When they get up to the psychopath and in criminal analysis, that's really stepping into a different world. Okay, but this is a long pattern that people follow. There's no kid that gets up one morning and says, "Oh, I'm gonna be a sociopath." No, you won't ever find a book in any bookstore written by a mother of a serial killer. "The son that I raised." They're not going to do it. Why? Because it's a heartbreak to those people. And those people that get that far have had a series of pattern in their life that has taken them down this stretch. Okay, the fifth area is, if you would look in Exodus, I'll slow down on Exodus 20, is this might be a tough one to swallow, but hereditary. I knew a youth pastor fulfilling his calling of God, and there's on a certain day in his life, he felt like a cloud came over him, and he became lethargic, passive. He got out of the ministry, got out of church, didn't go into what we call gross sin. He just quit. Went that way, in that lethargic way for 2, 3, 4 years. I'm not sure how long. And then he kind of came out of it, and then he started looking back at his life, and he remembered that day where he just evidenced that cloud, that oppression that came upon him. And he realized his aunt died. She was a witch. You see, those spirits, when that body dies, those spirits leave. And their first choice is relatives or families where they can go. And that's where it landed. And that's why he became that way. Okay? And Exodus chapter 20, verse 4 and 5 talks about the second commandment of the Ten Commandments, but yet if you go up to Crown Point, some Catholic put the Ten Commandments out there, and he's got the all-seeing eye at the top, and he skipped the second commandment. Then he split the tenth commandment. Well, that booger, why'd he do that? A spirit led him to do that. In Exodus 20, verse 4 and 5, and this is what a communist will tell you, that if you can ingrain a kid, if you could teach a kid until 7 years old, you've got him for life. And this is what the Catholic Church knows. Except there's the power of Jesus Christ. That they forget. Exodus 20, verse 4. "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness that is anything in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." So if a person recognizes this, okay, in my past, okay, do I have Satanists? Do I have Freemasons? Do I have some religious structure? Okay, and so because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we could stop that vicious cycle. The cycle is that hurt people hurt people. And so we can stop that vicious cycle of that religious passing it down. We can break it by the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, idolatry is a spiritual bondage, and it can run through a family. And the unclean spirits, when they leave that body, when they left the body of the maniac of Gadara, they went into some hogs. Now, that wasn't their first choice. And that's why the hogs had suicide. You know, because they went down into the river, or into the water, because suicide is not a natural decision. It's a spiritual decision, and it's an evidence of unclean spirits. That's not saying that that person was lost. It's not saying it's got nothing to do with their salvation, because the natural thing of the body is to take care of the body and live as long as we can. And you watch people, they live, do all they can to live. And so when a person does that, that's evidence of influence of unclean spirits. Okay? And a person can overcome those by the power of Jesus Christ. Okay? I knew a fella in Francisville area that was trying to help a young man who was infested. He wanted me to talk to the young man. I did. Talked to the kid for about an hour. And then I went to my friend and I said, please don't deal with the kid. You don't know what you're doing. He said, I want to help him. I said, that's commendable, but you don't know what you're doing. Please let it go. And he wouldn't. He didn't leave it go. That was December. I talked to a young fella. By the end of January, the man that was trying to help the young fella turned around, started acting like the young fella, and then he took his own life. And then the devils after that went and found some other victim. Okay, and so that's why this hereditary thing is important. It doesn't have, I'm not saying it's any religious structure. Okay, depending on the culture. It can be Lutheranism. It can be Baptist. Depends on the upbringing. Depends on the church situation. Depends on the intent of those things. The thing is that we can stop it. Because in hereditary, even though we have our earthly parents, when you get saved, you got a new parent. Okay, and that's the thing is, get in the right family. Break the vicious cycle. And then walk as a vigilant soldier of Jesus Christ. It amazes me how trusting people are. Trusting of science, false science. Trusting on the highway. Now, in Costa Rica, the people on motorcycles go between the cars. They go up those sidewalks. I mean, they can do anything. I like that. I like the idea. It's hard for me to do that with a Goldwing in our culture. But I like that. 17 people die every month in that city because of that. But people are walking down the streets and they don't look for the cars. That's crazy. That's not natural. Okay, you got to be vigilant. You got to know your environment. I mean, when you travel, you can't take a gun or a knife, but you can take a tactical pin, which does a good enough damage, and that goes through security, because I do that all the time, and I've got it right in my pocket if it need be. Why? Because you got to know your surrounding. That is a natural thing of life. But when people don't do that, they're being conditioned. They trust somebody's not texting when you're walking beside it and you might become a speed bump. And the thing is the Lord wants us to be vigilant. Be vigilant, be sober, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You ever see that symbolism? You ever see that English symbolism where that lion steps up on the back two legs? That's the devil. That's they're picturing the devil, and that's who's given that power to the queen and company. And if you knew what they did behind the scenes, you'd be shocked. But you see, as a believer, them idols are nothing. And on a piece of steel, piece of rock, piece of plastic, you know, tip it over. You know, boy, people get upset. You did that. Wrap a noose around her neck and hang her up. Oh, they get upset about that. That shows they worship it. That shows the magnetic attraction spiritually. For the believer, we got power in Jesus Christ. And so these are visual signs. And, you know, to continually a habit usually takes 40 days, 50 days to develop a habit, to get into your character, into your nature. But when we see these visible signs, it's like, okay, I need to get back to it. Lord, forgive. You go up 41, when you see Mary out there, pray for your country. It enhances your prayer life. You see? The thing is that's what we ought to be doing. Pray without ceasing. Okay, we'll stop. Lord, I do pray and ask you to help us to be vigilant soldiers of Jesus Christ and help us to recognize that these there's invisible evidence of thee, and there's visible evidences of the devil and his cohorts. In our country, they try to hide it, they try to mask it, they try to put a covering of Christianity on it to make it appear good. But Lord, we can see through that. As vigilant soldiers, help us to see through that and help us to be to recognize this and to be faithful to thee and put on the whole armor of God and withstand the unclean spirits. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, we're dismissed.